When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago, joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. Amen.
That will be glory for me. Well, you know, it's glory just to know the Lord, isn't it? Oh, that we might know Him. As we look to the Lord in prayer this morning, Brother Raul, would you lead us, please, in our prayer?
Heavenly Father, it will be glory for us.
Amen.
Thank you for the victory, Lord, in Christ Jesus. Father, we ask you to bless upon this service. And all that's said and done, we can enjoy your name. Thank you for the name of Jesus. If there be anyone here among us that is in the home of Christ, with this spirit and stir their hearts to repentance. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Good to see you. We got some visitors with us today. We appreciate you being here in our service. Always good to have our friends come by and see us and worship with us. You know, isn't it wonderful that we're members of the same family?
Amen.
We've been born again. We're children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to worship Him together and to sing songs of praise. We appreciate Brother David leading our singing for us today. And Brother John is going to be getting a special ready for us that he's going to be singing. And then we're going to have reading of God's Word and just all sorts of things going on around here today. and all of them religious oriented. Amen. So, Brother Roger, who's reading our Bible for us today? I am up here. He's ascribing deity. Did you hear that? He's ascribing deity to himself. I am Moses at the burning bush. He says, God, what's your name? What can I tell Pharaoh? You tell him, I am. Get up here. Amen. I hope the rest of you noticed that. That's God's name, isn't it? I am. I like the size of that print in that.
This
Bible
is great, isn't it?
I want to trade Bibles.
I think I could hold this up and everybody else could see it. I'm still putting my glasses on. This morning we're going to read from Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Amen. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide my face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned me from my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. All right, let's turn over to 439, Trusting Jesus. Trusting Jesus.
Simply trusting every day, trusting though a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth his spirit shine into this poor heart of mine, while he leads it, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path
in danger for him call. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him while life shall last. Trusting him till earth be past. Till I hear his final call. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all.
Amen. Would you all rise and we'll turn over to turn over to 347. 347. I pulled the wrong one. 347. And with the ushers, please come at the end of the song, please.
There's within my heart a melody. Just whisper sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In of all life's ebbs and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath the sheltering wing. Always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wake my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
I had a visit yesterday with a very distinguished gentleman that used to come to church here until Wayne Fox got to where he couldn't go any further than his oxygen cord would reach. But yesterday he took a break from it and came over to my house and visited with me until finally he says, well, I got to go back home and get on my machine again. But anyway, it was good to have him visit, and I had seen him earlier in the week, but this was the first time he'd been out, and it was good to have him out. And he asked me distinctly, he says, tomorrow when you record the service, he says, is Brother Johnny going to sing? And I told him yes. And so, Brother Johnny, if you'll come on up here. We'll dedicate this one especially to Wayne this morning, okay? Some reason or other, he likes to hear you sing.
Good morning, everyone. You know, when sorrows, trials, difficulties come our way, we look for a place to go.
Amen.
To escape, as we say. But the best place to go is into the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Fly to him, and he will comfort you and give you rest and peace that you need, please. Cannot see tomorrow because of today's sorrow. When you feel you're about to fall, you can rise above it all. You can fly, you can spread your wings of faith, and you can fly, you can fly. Fly to a safe haven. Spread your wings that you've been given. For you can fly away where grief cannot find you. Put all your care behind you. Oh, a little while. These wings were made for flying and not just for when you are dying. For every problem that you face, when you trust in God, you play. You can fly. Now you can fly. Or you can spread your wings of faith, and you can fly. Now you can
fly. You can fly. Fly to a safe haven. Flick your wings and you can give it. For you can fly. Always where grief cannot find you and put all your cares behind you. Go a little while. You can fly. You can fly. You can spread your wings of pain, and you can fly. Now you can fly. You can fly. Fly to a safe haven. Spread your wings and you've been given. Listen. On you can fly. A long way. Someday I'm not returning. For deep inside there's a yearning. To see the one who my wings in made. To see the one my wings in made. Oh, I'll see the one who my wings he did made.
Fly to that safe haven, which is Christ Jesus, the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.
All right. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Now open your Bibles with me over to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians for our message today. And while you're turning over there, I'll remind you that at 6 o'clock this evening, we're going to be preaching again here. And tonight, I'm going to be speaking about the chronology of the flood. That's going back a ways, isn't it? Way back to the flood. We preached about Noah not long ago when we mentioned the first cruise. We took a cruise on the ark. And we had a delightful journey. It lasted a little longer than we expected, but we came out on dry ground anyway. And tonight we're going to talk about the flood. That was quite a remarkable thing when it rained. We think about this during this drought that we're in. When it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, those were continuous days and nights. It was not one day this year and one day next year and maybe one day the next two or three years. It does that now. But this was all at one time. Anyway, we're not talking about that this morning. Oh, and Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock, we're getting close to the wind-up stage of our tribulation series that we've been teaching about the seven-year tribulation that's going to come on earth before Jesus returns. That's between the rapture of the saints, the resurrection of the dead, until the return of Christ. That's 7 years called the tribulation. And we're looking at it from the standpoint of a person who has missed the rapture. He wasn't saved when Jesus came. He wasn't saved when the trumpet sounded and he saw all these people going up into heaven, and he was left behind. And we've talked about what his experiences are during the ensuing years until he sees Jesus come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But anyway, today we're taking a text from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. And this verse says, "But now, the 9th of August, 2015, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." I know that many people will cower at the thought that Jesus is alive. But I count it a privilege to announce this wonderful theme of resurrection from the dead. That's what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned. We are gathered here today on this particular day to commemorate Jesus' resurrection from the dead nearly 2,000 years ago. And we are met here today on this particular day to anticipate our own resurrection from the dead. And we're not even dead yet. We're anticipating it. Now, I'm sure that most of us are familiar with the crucifixion of Christ. That time when God offered his only begotten Son on the altar of Calvary for our sins. And Jesus became the Lamb of God who sacrificed his blood. His blood made atonement for the sins of the world. And Paul had told us here back in verse 3 of this chapter that Christ died for our sins. Now, we know from the Bible record that two men, not his disciples, one was a wealthy and honorable counselor by the name of Joseph, who lived at Arimathea. The other was a rabbi, Jewish rabbi, a teacher, a leader of a synagogue of the Jews. These two men, with Pilate's permission — Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea at that time — they removed the dead corpse of our Lord Jesus Christ down off of that cross and prepared it for burial. And it was laid to rest, by the way, in Joseph's new tomb that had just been carved out of the solid rock. And a great stone had been rolled over the door, not to keep Jesus in, but to keep others out, because they were afraid that his disciples would come and remove the body at night and then tell everybody, "Hey, look, the tomb is empty. He is risen from the dead." They didn't want that to happen. So they rolled a stone over the door and sealed it. We also know from the Bible record that on the morning of the third day, there were several women who had followed him from Galilee. They came to the tomb to anoint his body with spices. And as they approached the garden where the tomb was, they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door?" And that was the cue for the angel of the Lord to move. And he descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone away and sat down on top of it. And he said to these women, "He is not here. He is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." So Christianity became the first and only religion in the whole wide world to have a risen, living Savior. It's the only religion in the world. For 40 days, Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Now, with all respect to our dear Muslim brothers, because if we don't treat them with respect, they'll kill us. With all respect to Mohammed, the prophet of the moon god Allah, who is worshipped, by the way, by 1/6 of the earth's entire population, Mohammed is dead. Shh, don't tell him. But he's dead. He died in AD 632, and he is still dead. There are a lot of people who worship Confucius, follow his teachings. But Confucius is dead. He died in 478 BC. And he is still dead. Buddha is worshipped by millions of people today. But Buddha died in 483 BC, and Buddha is still dead. Of all of the leaders of the religions of the world, there's only one that's still alive. And his name is Jesus. Now, it's true that there have been several other instances where the dead have been restored to life. Why, when Jesus was here during his earthly ministry, he was down by a place called Nain. Here comes a funeral procession down Main Street. They're carrying the body of a young man, a widow woman's only son. And they're taking his body out to the graveyard to bury him. Jesus walked over there. He looked at this young man, his body is all laid out up there, ready to be buried. He raised him back to life. Did you know that? Raised him back to life. And there was a ruler of a synagogue by the name of Jairus who had a little 12-year-old daughter. Oh, he loved her so much. everybody, you know, 12 years, that's a beautiful age for a little young lady, isn't it? But she died. Jairus came to Jesus. He went over there to her dead body, took her by the hand, and says, "Daughter, arise." And she sat up just like she was waking up from sleep. She came alive. You know, a little later on, Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus, said, "Your friend and our brother Lazarus is dead." Jesus followed them out into that Bethany cemetery. Yep, there he is. He's in the tomb. The tomb was a cave, had a stone rolled over the entrance. He said, "Roll away the stone." Martha says to him, "Lord, he's been buried, dead and buried for 4 days. By now his body stinketh. It's already begun to decompose. And nevertheless, they obeyed Jesus' word and rolled that stone away. And Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. Jesus said to those people standing around there with their mouths open and their eyes bulging out, "Loose him and let him go." He had the power. Now listen. Now, he's dead. He's dead. How do you get out of the grave? He said, these are his words. They're written down. "I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again." Now, you and I can't say that. We don't have that power. Here, about 5 years ago, I had a niece down in Arlington, Texas. I've known her since she was a baby. Watched her grow up. She became a nurse. She married, had a beautiful daughter. In fact, this year, her daughter, for the first time, came out to California and visited with me. She and her husband spent a week out here. And one day, my brother Bill didn't see Margie. She lived right next door to a house next door. So he went over there looking for her. Opened the garage door. Her car was still in the garage. He started walking past the garage to the door that goes into the house. And there on a pallet in front of the car, next to the door that went into the house, was Marge's body. She'd found a pistol somewhere and loaded it and killed herself. And to this day, we don't know why Margie took her own life. And it's been 5 years, I think it is. Did you know? You and I can take our own life the same way. But if you don't like what you find on the other side, you can't turn around and come back. You got to take what's there. You don't know what it is. But you can't come back alive again by yourself. But Jesus could. And he did. Now this world mocks and scoffs at what they call an impossibility. Even Jesus' miraculous conception and virgin birth, they call a biological impossibility. But nothing is impossible with God. He specializes in things that men think are impossible. Now, why is it that we make so much about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because our own resurrection is linked to his. Without his resurrection from the dead, you don't stand a tinker's chance of getting out of the grave on resurrection day. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. There's a vein of selfishness and desperation that runs through the very fiber of our being that makes our souls cry out, I believe. I must believe. I have no other option. No one else on earth has the power to get me out of the grave on resurrection morning. I can trust no one else to do it. Now, I love you people, every one of you, and I trust you. But I can't depend on you to get me out of the grave on the morning of the resurrection. I can't depend on you to say, well, I hear that trumpet sounding. I got to go, but let's go out here to the graveyard and see if Brother Wetzel made it out of the grave. If he didn't, we'll get a shovel and help a little bit, you know. I'm not going to depend on you. You've got your own problems. Now, I know that a lot of people today are having their bodies frozen. It's a place over there in Phoenix. You get it stored over there. It's a quick freeze. And they keep it in that deep freeze until science figures out a way to defeat this death process. Then they're going to go in there and thaw them out and restore them to life. Now, quite frankly, I wouldn't like to be that cold for that long. Listen to me. I watched the presidential debates the other night, saw some of it. And old Donald Trump, with all of his wealth, if he came to me and said, Brother Wetzel, don't you worry about a thing. Because if you die, I've got enough money to buy you back. And I would say, thank you, Donald, but I don't think that you've got enough. Wealth is not going to do it. Not for me, not for you, or even for Donald Trump. Oh, well, wait a minute. I'll go to the White House and knock on the president's door. President Obama, will you issue an executive order to get me out of the grave on Resurrection Day? I don't think he can do it. Hey, I'll go across the street to the Supreme Court. I'll go over there to those people. They can do anything. I'll get them and the members of Congress. Why, they're so far above all of the laws that they pass. But they cannot order the resurrection of their own bodies or the resurrection of anybody else. They can do it unanimously. That means all of them are in favor of it. But it's going to take more than an act of Congress to get us out of the grave on Resurrection Day. Wealth cannot buy it. Governments cannot legislate it. Works cannot earn it. Religion? Well, can religion invoke it? What if the Pope? Let's go to the Pope, the Vicar of Christ. Let's go to the Pope and let him issue a papal decree that in the morning, 6 o'clock on Monday morning, we're going to have resurrection of the dead. Think about it. You think that would happen? Even if the Pope passed a papal decree? I don't think that's going to help in getting people out of the grave on Resurrection Day. So many unbelievers throw up their hands in despair and just consign their soul to nothingness, claiming that death is the end, there is no hereafter, there is no heaven, there is no hell. You just cease to exist. And they satisfy themselves with that. Nearly 4,000 years ago, there was a pathetic creature by the name of Job, sitting in a pile of ashes, covered with sores. He was scraping his sores with a shard of broken pottery. His body had just covered with these old sore, painful boils. In the despair of his agony, he lifted up his voice to heaven and he cried out, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms devour this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. And the echo of that cry of faith causes hope to leap within our souls, even today. Back in 1979. My daddy died. He was 80 years old. We buried him in a little cemetery down in Grand Prairie, Texas. 15 years later, in 1994, my mother passed away. She was 90 years of age. We buried her beside Daddy in that same cemetery. 5 years ago, my youngest brother, Charles, died. I was down there at Texas when it happened. Died of cancer. We buried him. Last year, my wife of 68 years died. Don't you dare look me in the face and tell me that I will never see my daddy and mama again, or my brother, or my wife. I know better than that. I have the promise of God, who cannot lie, that I will be reunited with my loved ones. And the last thing that my wife said to me before she passed, she says, "I'll be waiting for you." Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying, then you just keep your unbelief to yourself. Don't pour your poisonous acid of atheism on my faith, because I believe God. The New Testament doesn't elaborate on it. But did you ever notice that when Jesus died, there were some very miraculous things that took place? His death was so phenomenal that it overshadowed everything else. And nobody could concentrate on anything else, any of these peripheral issues, because his death was the most important thing. It overshadowed everything else that happened. But some of the events that took place, if you take them by themselves and you throw the spotlight of attention on them, they themselves were outstanding. Phenomenal, spectacular. Go back and look at some of them. When Jesus gave up the ghost and cried out, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." First of all, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And that thing was so tough and so strong that if you tied a yoke of oxen to one side of it and a yoke of oxen to the other side, and they were pulling against one another trying to tear that veil, they couldn't do it. It was that strong. But an unseen, invisible hand tore that veil in the temple from the top to all the way to the bottom when Jesus died. Secondly, there was a great earthquake. Earthquakes usually make the news. But this one didn't even make the fifth page of the Jerusalem paper. That earthquake rent the rocks. That means it busted them wide open. And Matthew records in chapter 27 that out yonder in the Jerusalem graveyard, now this itself would make the headlines of a paper, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. Now, if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, those bodies would never have come out of the graves. That's resurrection. Paul goes on to tell us here in 1 Corinthians 15. I would urge you to read this. He said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus is still dead. He is not risen from the grave. If there's no resurrection of the dead, our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. We are false witnesses of a lie. If Christ is not risen from the dead, we are yet in our sins. We have no hope. We are of all men most miserable. If there is no resurrection of the dead, all those who have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and is become the first fruits of all them that sleep. Because he lives, we shall live also. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. This corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the word of God. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is today to be able to realize that Jesus lives, that he's alive. We have a Savior who lives. And because he lives, we shall live also. Thank you for that hope of eternal life that you've given us through Christ. If there's one in this congregation who does not have that assurance in their soul today, I pray that as the invitation is extended to them, that they will take advantage of it and will come and make that public profession of faith in him today and be saved for all eternity. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. 493. Will you come today?
Thank you.
He's calling you today. Will you come? Just think, Jesus is calling. He's calling for us to come home. He's calling us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. The next time we hear his voice, we may hear him calling us out of the grave. Let's make sure that we know him. Can we sing just one more verse? Examine your heart today. Be convinced. Have the assurance of God's holy word that your heart, your life, is right with God. Brother David, one more verse. Thank you for coming out today. I look forward to seeing you tonight. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon and that we've been able to say something today that will take root in your soul, draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Lancaster, would you lead us, please, in our benediction this morning?